Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today about what I think is a very, very important issue for us to deal with and wrestle with and determine how we're going to handle it and what God would have us to do. We're talking about the 5 most important issues that are dangerous, that face us as Americans, and that I believe will come to a boiling point during the course of this year. We've just gotten through talking about the spiritual decline. It is the spiritual decline, the religious freedom restrictions that's taking place today, and the closure of the churches and the decline of church membership, the decline of church attendance. And according to the Barner Report, about 60,000 churches will close in the next 12 to 18 months. I'm concerned about those things. I don't know about you, but I see that as the harbinger of things to come. If it starts with the church, if there's the foundation of spirituality in our nation declines, then everything else falters, falls, and crumbles thereby. Ladies and gentlemen, the second most important thing, and the issue that I believe we're faced with now, and it is increasing by the day, and that is the shortage of food. Today, on a national level, the distribution of the food across the nation, the distribution of goods across. I talked with a gentleman, a pastor, just yesterday, and he's down in St. Augustine, and he said he's just gotten back from, Walmart, and he said row after row of shelves are completely empty in the Walmart stores there in St. Augustine. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the average that's taking place. But I believe we face a very serious, dark days ahead of us. Reports of grocery store shelves being empty. We have many, many today in America where families are becoming frantic and panic-stricken due to the finding of difficulties to buy the basic needs in their local stores. In fact, I'm looking at an article here, Greg. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking with one of our 4 sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg is up in the mountains of northeast Tennessee, and he says it's the southern tip of heaven. But it's getting pretty chilly up there in ice and snow, and I'm glad he's there and I'm here. But I'm delighted that he's taken time out of his busy schedule to talk with us on this issue. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says, dozens involved in a wild brawl, B-R-A-W-L, over alleged steak shortages at a Golden Corral restaurant. It's Dateline February the 1st. Customers hoping for a classic buffet dinner at Golden Corral in Pennsylvania on Friday night were instead met with a massive brawl. A stunning video shows dozens of customers throwing punches, tables and chairs being tossed in the disturbance. Police said more than 40 people were involved in the fight that broke out in the restaurant. They cited an argument between customers as the reason for the brawl. From what I heard, the police officer said it was over the shortage of steak. There was a shortage of steak, and 2 parties were involved. He said one family cut in front of another family where they were taking, rather than taking their time, because steak was being was short and was running out, and it got into the heated exchange at the tables, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Greg, would you ever thought there'd be a day in America in restaurants where the manager announces or someone announces that they have a shortage of steak, and so therefore it's limiting the number of steaks or how much steak a person could eat? Would you have ever dreamed that happened in America and there'd be 40 people in a free-for-all battle on the floor of a restaurant over trying to get the steaks?
Wow. Listen, I'd have never imagined a toilet paper shortage like we started seeing 18 months ago. I'd have never imagined that in America. But I have seen it in places like Venezuela, and I guarantee you over and over that was seen in Cuba. That was obviously seen in Germany. That's probably seen in Greece with their financial collapse a few years back. Anytime you have a financial market that is manipulated and then becomes upset, you can expect reverberations throughout the economy. And we've had a manipulated financial market now for decades. Obviously, we've both reflected on the Carter years and and early into the Reagan years. You didn't have the same level of Fed manipulation. Things really went off the rails. We had interest rates, and the Treasury rates had a peak at 16.26%. Obviously, house notes were 18, 19, 20%. We're in this artificial reality, and this year, as you're prognosticating on 2022, I believe this year we're going to see the Fed try to step in, try to intervene in the runaway inflation that they're reporting at 7.6% or 6.7%. Really, it's over 15%. I mean, look at the cost of your food and fuel that they have excluded since, I forget what year they did that. They literally changed the definition of the word inflation so as to not make it so dramatic as it really is today. However, look at what the history is on Fed manipulation in the past two decades. In 08, leading up to the 08-09 collapse, you see that they stepped up the interest rates under Bush, and all of a sudden we had a collapse. And of course, a lot of folks on the left, they pointed at Bush, oh, it's all Bush's fault. Look, the Federal Reserve Bank and its governing board has more power economically than the President of the United States. They have more power than all of Congress. They have more power than the courts. They have more power than governors and mayors. They have a huge amount of power. And we watched that same stair-step pattern upward take place in 2017 under Trump. And Trump started squawking, screaming, having fits, and very quickly they kind of muted their policy a little bit. But we were headed for that same kind of, the entire market putting on brakes. If they do what some people have suggested with a one-point hike all at once and then quarter-point raises, the equities market will collapse. I mean, literally, it will not respond well. We'll say it that way. Just the threat of that has had the market for the entire of January was in the hole. And when I say the market, the equities market. And obviously, we know that we have a much broader swath of economy than just the equities market. But that's something that I think a lot of people pay attention to. They're watching their IRA or 401k, and that's important. Matter of fact, if you're a potential retiree, that's important. Even if you don't have an IRA or 401k, you're going, well, that pension fund is invested in these equities markets. So you do need to pay attention. And for every believer out there that's going, Greg, why in the world are you talking finances? Why in the world are you talking economics? You know, we as Christians, we ought to be focused on the Word and on the Lord. And yeah, we ought to, but we ought to be, and Glenn said this yesterday, wise as serpents. What in the world is that? Do your homework, folks. Realize what's going on in the world around you. Matter of fact, that helps you be an effective witness as well. If as the world collapses around you, you don't have some sensitivity to what's taking place, you're going to be an ineffective witness potentially. It's the old saying that they'll not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's hard to care for somebody and not know what in the world's going on in the real world around you.
Absolutely. Greg, when we touch on the economics of it and the shortages that we're finding in the restaurants and the big box stores and the grocery stores and so forth, notwithstanding the shortage of employment, et cetera, with the staff being short, not having enough people, et cetera, notwithstanding that. But there are a lot of people that are blaming the truckers, that it's because the distribution has been slowed down because of truckers. Explain that to our listeners. Is it the truckers' fault that distribution has been halted? Is it the truckers' fault? Can we blame the truckers across America for the shortage in the grocery stores? What is the cause and effect, and what's causing the truckers to do what they're doing, and how should that relate to us, and what should we do? First of all, before you address that, let me say this. According to the Bible in Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, there's coming a day when it will be the cost of a day's wages to buy a loaf of bread. The scripture is very, very clear in Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. It tells that. it says that, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him, and a pair of balances, that's balance scales, in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, that's the beast, the zoos, the living creatures, say, a measure of wheat for a penny. And in that era, a penny was about a day's wages, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil, the wine. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg, it's talking about a day coming, and that's after the rapture of the church, during the days of the tribulation. But my position is, eschatologically speaking, that we're watching the precursor of that, where we're seeing the increase on the prices of things skyrocketing, including bread and food to eat. How should we view that as Christians? What should we do? Should we go out and hoard everything? Should we go out in a panic? Or should we trust God? Who's responsible for watching the shortages take place?
Listen, we have apparently folks in Congress and mayor's office and governor's mansions across the United States, and even folks in the World Economic Forum, folks around the world that are doing this sort of thing. You know, they're inside the power substation, and they're taking mallets to everything, you know, every transformer and every transfer line, you know, and destroying it. And then they go, you must have done something to the power at your house. You must have been running too much. You know, I mean, you understand it. What I'm saying, they're drilling holes in the bottom of the ship and complaining about the ship sinking, and they want to blame capitalism. And I, over and over, I've talked about, you know, how Marxism has played out through, you know, the Fabian Society has played out through, you know, these leftist movements. And they'd like to see collapse, because they, in the midst of collapse, they grab power. The authoritarians, the totalitarians, the Marxist leftists, they gain power. I mean, literally, when you're in need, when there's no food in the store, you will stand in a bread line. You will willfully, happily, gleefully stand in a bread line, especially if it looks like you're actually going to get bread. And that's what they create the problem. They create the dilemma. And then they scream that, hey, we can fix it for you. And that's what's taking place even with the truckers now. You know, it's those bad truckers. You know, they're just, according to Trudeau up there, they're a bunch of racists. You know, what? Is he out of his mind? He's not out of his mind. He knows that's a trigger word for a lot on the left, and even many on the right that are ignorant. And all of a sudden, well, we can't associate with them. They're racist. I mean, it's absurd. These folks are responding to unconstitutional, authoritarian, dictatorial, fascist rules by the government. In California, they were having a real problem getting things off the port, but they kept stepping up the rules. I mean, not just you got to wear your mask, you got to be vaccinated, your truck can't be more than 10 years old. A few years down the line, they're going to require electric trucks that they don't even make today. Within Canada, of course, you got to be vaxxed by this date, otherwise you can't cross the border, can't do this, that, yet. Excuse me? These folks have operated for 2 years with no vaccination, a lot of them. And some are vaccinated, and they're smart enough to go, you know what, you're not going to be a fascist. I'm not going to stand by and let you do this to other people. I mean, you choose whether or not you think it's a good idea to go and get this shot that they're calling a vaccination. That's fine. But I think even folks that are good-willed and they've decided that they want to take this shot, they also go, I disagree with fascism. I disagree with the authoritarian force by the government to step in there and make you take a shot, especially in this era where we're endemic. This thing is going away. It looks like this last variant may very well be the real cure for us, because it should perhaps provide upstream and downstream protection against other variants, and it's very, 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 very mild. So why in the world now the push, the force? Doesn't make any sense. Now, at the same time that we know that these vaccines, that they call them, they do nothing with Omicron. Think about it. We're going to force you to take a product that we've also admitted doesn't work on the prevalent strain of the day. At the same time they did that, Biden takes off the market through his FDA, takes off the market Regeneron and the other monoclonal antibodies, because they say it doesn't work on the prevailing variant of the day. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. Not unless you want to bring about calamity. You want to bring about chaos, and that's exactly what they want, because with chaos comes power.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we see. Before we take our next call, Greg, I'm going to read you the headlines in two brief paragraphs. U.S. warns that chip shortage, that's computer chips, chip shortages could shut down factories across America. The U.S. supply of computer chips has fallen to the alarming low levels, raising the prospect of factory shutdowns, the Commerce Department reported Tuesday. Companies that use semiconductors are down to less than 5 days inventory, a sharp drop from 40 days in 2019, according to the Department of Survey of 150 companies. The chips used in the production of automobiles and medical supplies and other areas of product demand for chips, the department said, was up 17% from year 2019. And they're saying, setting the stage, saying that computer chips could shut down manufacturing plants producing those that produce the groceries, etc., across America. So what we're seeing is a perfect storm. Computer chips shutting down factories, factories closing, the distribution being brought to a screeching halt, and then store shelves empty. Greg, I'm going to ask you this question, then we'll have our guest come on and then let you answer it. But what's going to happen when we have shortages of food across America? Just like in that restaurant, in the Golden Corral restaurant in Pennsylvania, where there was a shortage of steaks, and there were 40 people fighting over a few steaks on the grill because there was a shortage. What will happen in America during the course of this year when the shortages increase, where it exponentially increases to the point that some can't buy a loaf of bread, some can't get a bag of flour, some will not be able to buy a piece of meat, leg of chicken, et cetera, will that cause chaos, confusion, and will it cause roving bands to break into homes and try to steal what they can get, or am I an alarmist thinking of it in such an extreme fashion? Hold your thought. Pastor Davis, I believe you're on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for taking my call, and of course, I'll try to be as brief as I can, but as being a truck driver, you know, in the past, I've driven a few years prior to starting my own business, but let me just say in short that the driver can't drive if you're going to continue to put obstacles in his way. And you and I both, you know, have discussed this on a previous broadcast as to what they're putting out there that's causing these guys a lot of problems. And now they're being pictured as the bad guys. So I think that's improper and wrong if you're going to, you know, do things to deny these people the right to earn a living for their families. So, and I just want to say that in short. But I heard you say something about the top five things that we had to be concerned with. And I'm not going to go down through the five things that I scratched down. I just wrote down on a piece of paper listening to the broadcast today. But the number one thing for me, Dr. Youngblood, I think that's important for the United States in general is what you said earlier, getting back to the spiritual part.
Yes.
We are, we were established as one nation under God. And if we don't get back to that, then we can just table everything else because it's not going to happen. So that's just what I want to say in short. Thank you so much.
Brother, you're exactly right. What you're saying is the spirituality of a nation is the barometer as to the direction, the height, and the breadth or the depth that will be plummeted to with the like thereof. It's the spirituality of a nation that is makes the decision and forms the direction and the mindset of any nation. Greg, pick up on that thought and link that with the thought that I laid out in relationship to the supposed shortage of chips and where we're going in relationship to that. And what will happen when everybody, nobody can go to the, I say nobody, most cannot go to the grocery store and buy a cart of groceries. If you get a few groceries, it costs you hundreds of dollars versus a few dollars. What will happen? What do you envision? Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you talk about the computer chip shortage. I mean, people will lose their minds over a potato chip shortage. But, I mean, the two kind of work hand in hand. We've become reliant upon other nations. We've become reliant upon nations that do not have the best interest of the United States at heart. That's a huge issue, but that is by design. And a friend, Matt Bracken, he's a former Navy SEAL, has written a series of books, Enemies Foreign and Domestic, 1, 2, and 3, Castigo Bay, this and that, right down the list of books he's written. He articulated this, you know, concerning the riots of a couple of years ago. You know, as they're burning and looting, destroying towns, town after town, he said, if they do this, if they're this violent with full bellies, how violent will they be when they have empty bellies? You know what? Folks that are ordinarily peaceful, kind, gentle, you know, good-hearted folks,
when their belly gets empty and their baby's grandbaby gets baby's belly gets empty and their grandbaby's belly gets empty, they'll resort to some real bad things, oftentimes, in order to fill those bellies. So we may have some real trying days ahead, especially if there's not a reversal, a turn back from that which has caused the chaos. But I see no relenting on the part of these authoritarians that are running the system today. Biden's not reversed course at all. When he was asked, do you think you may need to moderate your position dealing with this $5.5 trillion, fake infrastructure bill? He said, no. Literally, it's an all or nothing. If you don't let us completely control this house, we're going to burn this house down. It's a slash and burn, scorched earth mentality. These folks on the left, they see this as their last best chance of grabbing perpetual power. But they do not know. It seems to me, and you overlay history, you overlay what's going on politically today with the scripture, and you go, they don't realize they are working for the Antichrist, I believe. I mean, yes. I believe that the Christ return is literally, we're right on the edge of Christ return. And what we see is everything being set up for an international economic collapse. All the arrows point in that direction. And as we look at catalyst events that could bring about a worldwide authoritarian leader, that sort of thing is exactly what could bring about an international authoritarian leader.
Absolutely.
And if you don't believe in it, just look back on the history, the chaos, and I've talked about this a million times, but the chaos that the Weimar Republic, what Germany dealt with, they were dealing with debt being called due, debt that was incurred during World War One, and they decided, hey, the cure, the fix is let's run the printing presses. When things went completely crazy, the parliament of that day gave the enabling, assigned the enabling legislation that allowed Adolf Hitler to have complete totalitarian dictatorial control. I believe the world will give to one man authoritarian dictatorial control when they are hurting so badly, when people
Absolutely.
Are starving. I mean, today the number one cause of infant mortality in Venezuela is starvation or malnutrition. Who would have thought that a decade or two ago?
Absolutely.
Venezuela was such a wealthy nation, but so are we today.
Yes. Yes, it is absolutely possible, and I believe it's all being promulgated by the totalitarian global reset with the one world government that's at hand, and I believe that we're seeing just as you touched on, but you can go to Revelation chapter 18 and find there's coming a day where there will be a global, worldwide collapse of the monetary system, collapse of anything that would be called merchandising and marketing of any products around the globe. But Greg, very quickly, we've talked about the fact that it's the spiritual decline. We're talking about the five major things that I think will take place during 2022 that should have our attention. The major decline of spirituality in America, and secondly, the food shortages because of the distribution and because of the computer chips and because of it being manipulated by the socialist Marxist regime that wants to do so to bring in the communist system. And the third thing is what I call, using the biblical term, is wars and rumors of wars. Greg, quickly, I'm going to review this, and then I want you to respond to it, because we're talking about wars and rumors of wars. We're talking about the fourth thing being absolute total gun control, and the fifth thing being the condemnation and the censorship of Christians and Christian conservatives in America. Those things, I think, are on the very cusp of taking place in our great nation today. But wars and rumors of wars, I believe the next thing on the international scene would be open conflict with and war with Russia. In fact, our listeners can, at their leisure, go to Ezekiel 38 and 39 and find that Russia will lead a five-nation coalition to come against Israel, and it will rumble into a global international scene. Russia will be leading nations like Iran and Turkey and Germany and Libya and Syria into the conflagration that will take place on a global basis. And I believe that we're looking at it being set, and it was the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party that kept screaming Russia, 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 as accusing President Trump And in reality, it was the Clinton administration, the Clinton, the DNC, and the Clintons that was involved with Russia. Speak to that issue a little bit about Russia and about China and about North Korea and now the squabble that's taking place in the Middle East over Israel that I believe is going to all be amalgamated and we'll find major international wars and rumblings of wars during the course of this year.
Well, first off, and you talked about the censorship of believers. You have censorship of political thought as well as religious thought today, broad-based, governmentally sanctioned censorship. Both the public square, if you will, these supposedly neutral platforms covered under 230 in U.S. code are doing it in cahoots with government, stepping in. And your religious views, your religious opinions, that is completely they are completely protected or should be, according to the Constitution. They're being trampled. They're being absolutely eviscerated. And I would say for any believer today, if you're a conservative, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, and you're on Facebook or Twitter and they're not censoring you, up your game, folks. You're not doing your job. If you're not screaming, if you're not blowing the warning trumpet, then you're not on their radar.
You're literally,
and you're not on Satan's radar. if you're not out there shouting from the mountaintop, hey, warning folks, the chaos is coming. Warning folks, this is where this leads. On the Russia front, they joined together because for 4 years we saw 3.5 years, whatever, we saw the Russia, Trump Russia collusion, misinformation campaign from every single lamestream media outlet. And, that wasn't just misinformation. Those are out-and-out lies. Yet today, and back up, just before the election, news breaks of the Hunter Biden, laptops. And what did they do? Well, you had like 50 folks or 70 folks that were supposedly intelligence officials and former intelligence officials that tagged that as blatant Russian disinformation. Now, these are folks that didn't examine anything, or they did examine it, and they decided, hey, this is not politically expedient. We really want Trump out of there. Orange man bad, got to get rid of this guy. But understand, all your platforms let that misinformation that they called Russian misinformation, they let that flow. Why was that? They had a political agenda. These are not neutral platforms, folks. If you're watching PMSNBC, if you're watching the Communist News Network, you're not getting the news.
Yes,
you're absolutely being lied to on a daily basis. So,
we've got about 10 or 15 seconds. Wrap us up. What should Christians do? How should we respond to the information they've heard today?
I would say, if at a single message, it would be right out of Ezekiel 34, and it'd be to the shepherds. If you're a shepherd of your flock, tell the truth, share with folks right out of the scripture, and if you need to, right off the headlines as to how God is working in the world today, and his son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming back soon, very
Amen.
Soon.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.